take your Bible, if you will, please, to the book of 1 Chronicles in chapter number 28. 1 Chronicles chapter number 28. And let me see if I can get some of my desk here cleaned off a little bit. Put it in. I keep this in my repertoire. All them times and all these years, you said, I hope we have many more years together. I've got all of that in a drawer, in a box. And whenever you decide that you fall out with me to leave, what happened to this, all this? Yeah. All right, 1 Chronicles chapter number 28. I want you to look, if you will, in your Bible, if you will, please, in verse number 3. But God said unto me, this is David talking, but God said unto me, thou shalt not build a house for my name, because thou hast been a man of war and hast shed blood. Now, Father, we ask your blessings upon the reading of the word, and we do thank you for it and how good it is to be once again back here in the house of God. We praise you and thank you. Thou art God from everlasting to everlasting. Beside thee, there is none else. We pray you'd bind the devil, every demon assigned to hinder him. And we plead the blood of Jesus over every family that's here. We pray that now you have your will and way, and may we look with great anticipation to thy coming again. May we be busy about your business, that we be not ashamed at thy appearing. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Thank you, and be seated. I want to preach a little while tonight on lessons from David about the house of God. In the lesson that we're looking at, let me say to you that there's an importance, a very vital importance in the Scripture concerning the church of the living God, or the assembly, if you will, please. Now, we know there wasn't a church back in the Old Testament. You'll find the church of the firstborn that was mentioned. But in the New Testament, when Jesus said, upon this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against him. Now, David was a man that was after God's own heart by God's own testimony about him. And yet you'll find that here's a man that wanted to do some things that God wasn't going to let him do. Namely, that he wanted to build the temple. He wanted to build the house of God and have a permanent place for him to be able to put the Ark of the Covenant and the resting place and the dwelling place for the Lord. And that's what he wanted to do, and that's what he had in his heart. And he would have, but God said, no, I'm not going to let you do it. And the reason you're not going to do it, you've been a man of war and you've shed blood. And as a result, I'm going to raise up somebody out of your loins, somebody out of your family. I'll raise them up and I'll let them build the house of God. You and I ought to have 1,000 aspirations like that, that we'd like to fulfill for the cause of Christ. And when we leave this world, that we just did not have the ability or the capability or the resources that we needed. But we ought to have 1,000 aspirations that we want to fulfill for God. In this lesson that you're looking at, let me say to you, is that there's a very vital importance about the assembly and the assembling of together in the house of God. Now, do not lose your text, but look in Hebrews in chapter 10. Over there in the book of Hebrews in chapter 10. We live in a world in a day and an hour that has no regard for God, the Bible, and what's good, right, moral, and decent. I realize to know that you do, and I realize to know there's a remnant according to the election of grace that does. But I got to say, for the most part, you're going to find out even baptistically is that there's absolutely no reverence, no concern, no desire for obedience concerning the assembly or the house of God. We need to be teaching our children to teach their children the very vital importance about the assembly of the house of God. Now, I'm going to tell you the reason why God's doing it is that reason why God created the Sabbath. And we know the Sabbath in the Old Testament was on a Saturday, but in the New Testament, the resurrection day, it's a Sunday, it's the first day of the week. And as we look at that, you find God did not make man for the Sabbath. He made the Sabbath for the man. Somehow or another, we're living in a world, I remember when I was a kid growing up, just people that were God-cussing heathens. Didn't believe God, didn't go to church, didn't do it. But on the Lord's Day, they shut their business down and they had a reverential fear about God because that's the way they were brought up. I got to say to you that in the day and hour we live in, we've lost that in America. I don't mean that to be ugly, and I don't mean that if all of a sudden that you had to go out of town and you've missed a time and this and that, that's one thing. But let me tell you, I can name kinfolk after kinfolk, and I can name your kinfolks too, that if you knock on their door tonight and they're busy about their own business and they claim to be a Christian And they never darkened the door of the house of God on the Lord's day, except in and out, more out than they are in. Now, that makes me crucial. That makes me ugly and mean in their eyes. But I'm just trying to tell you, this is what the Word of the Lord said. Do you ever notice that people that don't go to church on a regular basis, they can't even have a correspondence with you? I mean, when you get around them, they may come for Christmas dinner, they may come for Thanksgiving, they may come for a birthday, they may just drop in and pop in every now and again, and all that business there. But you just have no common ground and no fellowship and no camaraderie there. You know why? They either don't know the Lord, more than likely, but I can tell you what, they've lost something by not being in the assembly. In this lesson that we're looking at, let me say to you, the book of Hebrews in chapter number 10, and I want you to watch there, it's about verse number 19. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus. Now, if you've been washed by the blood, hadn't you? If you have been, then we're talking to you. And he said, by a new and a living way, which he hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, the flesh, his flesh. In other words, that his flesh on the cross of Calvary when he paid the sin debt. In verse 21, and having a high priest over the house of God. Now let us draw near with a true heart and the full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. Did you notice that? In other words, the assembly part of it is his. It's a consideration one of another. It's a consider of who you are and what you can be in the Word of the Lord and by the Word of the Lord. And let me tell you right now, it involves not only you and I as adults, but these boys and girls, these children. I notice another thing, verse number 25, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Now, let me just tell you right now, if you were born a woman, and all of us were, let me say to you, if you were born a sinner, and every one of us was, and you've been saved by the grace of God, washed by the blood of the Lamb, you ought to have a consideration for these boys and these girls and for these other folks that are around about you that are comrades or fellow Christians, if you will, please. I can tell you right now, I've got it in my Bible somewhere. I don't know if I got it in this one here or not, but I've got it in this Bible here somewhere to where that when we went out of town and I was preaching somewhere at that time, and all that, and Monica or somebody wanted to know where I was and why I wasn't in church this morning. She was just a little talk then, see. I've got it where other grandchildren and children wanted to know where I was at, what I was doing. I mean, talk about dressing me down. I couldn't get by with it if I'd have wanted to. I mean, wouldn't that have been something if I'd have come back and said, I just hitchhiking. I got tired of it. I decided just to go ahead and hitchhike on Jesus for a Sunday. Wasn't that I was providentially hindered? Wasn't that? See what I'm talking about? It's our job and our responsibility to show ourselves a consideration one for another. Now, in this lesson that you're looking at, back over there in the book of 1 Chronicles that we've read tonight, in chapter number 28, you're going to find that David, whenever he spoke, he got the assembly together, verse 1. David assembled all the princes of Israel, the princes of the tribe, the captains, the companies that ministered to the king by course, and the captains over thousands, captains over hundreds, and stewards over all the substance and the possession of the king, and so forth, and on and on and on. I got to say to you that, if you will, that when you begin to look into it, is that David got the assembly together. It was a variety of people that were there. They had a variety of positions that were there. They had different responsibilities, no doubt about that. But I got to tell you right now is that whenever he gathered them all together, some of them were mighty men of valor. And let me tell you something right now. These were men that were from all walks of life, and they needed to assemble to be able to get instruction for themselves from the word of the Lord. I want you to look at about verse number 2, he said. And David the king stood up on his feet, and he said, hear me. Look at that, my brethren. Hear me. For I have had it in mine heart to build a house for the rest of the ark of the covenant of the Lord, the footstool of our God had it made ready for the building. But God said unto me, thou shalt not build a house for my name, because thou hast been a man of war and hast shed blood. Now, I want to tell you something, is that whenever David heard that, he decided, I'm going to do the next best thing. I may not can build it, but I can get the materials gathered together. God promised he's going to raise up a son out of my loins, and I'd let him build the house of God. Now, you and I would not have worked the way God did, because we already know the reason why that he got Bathsheba to start out with, because of his lust arousal as he watched her bathing on a housetop. And then as a result of that, he committed adultery with her, fornication, and adultery, if you will, and got them together and got her pregnant out of wedlock. That child ended up dying. And if you're going to be God now, and you're going to choose somebody to be able to build his house, would you choose somebody that came out of the loins of Bathsheba? See, God doesn't do like we do. That's the reason why that every now and again somebody whose lives are wrecked and lives are shambles. I mean, an old dirty-legged whore were to come in. If everybody knows it's going to be hard to open up your heart and your home and your life. But God will forgive and God will forget your sins and your past. And we thank God for forgiveness. Listen, if God were to mark iniquities, there's not one of us that could ever stand. In the lesson that we're looking at, you're going to find out that here's what he said. He said what we need to do is teach our children something about the importance of the assembly. You know that when you come to the house of God, that's where that you get some instruction. Now some of these little old boys that are up here and these little old gals that are here, I've watched them take notes for years. And you know every now and again, one of them will go spitting stuff out that you wouldn't dream that they ever grabbed hold of. They're a lot smarter. In fact is, whenever I lose just a little bit more of my mind, and out of all the things I've lost in life, I miss my mind the most. I don't want to get in a confrontation with one of them concerning Bible matters. That's the way that it ought to be. See? That's the way that it ought to be. And you don't want to get to where you're sassy mouth and this and that and then have me as an old man slap you. Number one, if you whipped me, what honor is that? As I'm an old man. If I whipped you, man, what a shame. That's good. You let an old man whip you like that? What'd he do? Yeah, well, he hit me with a walking cane twice. I said all that to be able to tell you the assembly, the house of God, is a place that we get instruction. And let me tell you, it's very important. Hey, did you ever notice that not only is there an instruction involved, there's an inspiration involved with the word of the Lord? Did you ever notice that? You ever come down here just dragging your tail, you know, and thinking, man, I wish I was doing something else and all that business there? I mean, I left out tonight. My wife said, are you coming or not? I said, well, hang on a minute. I'm wanting to see this one scene on Gunsmoke. I like only do it. The only reason why I put it on Gunsmoke and I leave it on Gunsmoke is because of the fact is that there's Casey and she likes Westerns. You know, I didn't want her mind being corrupted by that woke movement. She already every now and again gets her head bouncing in and out, you know, and I'm thinking, man, what is that going on? It's a place of instruction, but it's a place of inspiration. You ever notice sometime when you're at your worst, you come down to the house of God, and all of a sudden, either God uses a song, God uses a sermon, God uses just somebody speaking, that all of a sudden now it just recharges your battery and makes you want to go forward with God some more. You ever do that? Well, it's because you're not dead, but you're alive, and you know him and the free pardon of sin. I got to say to you that, if you will, please, is that it ought to make an impression upon your heart and your life. You know, as I was growing up, I've heard some preachers that were deader than 10 o'clock. But every now and again, there'd be one slip through the cracks, buddy, that could shell it clean to the cob. And let me tell you right now, is it made an impression upon my heart and upon my life. And it made me want to be able to, whenever I surrendered to preach, Lord, I don't want to be dead and dull and tried up. I want to be able to inspire somebody and impress them with the blessed word of the Lord. I want to be an exhortation. I want to exhort them to serve God faithfully unto the Lord. That's what David's about to do here to his son. And let me say to you, if you'll be an example, you'll do exactly that. Look in verse number 2, if you will, again. He said, hear me. Now, here's what I noticed about whenever he wants you to hear something. If a man's going to call your attention, if a person's going to get your attention, they ought to have something to say. And let me tell you right now, he had something to say. And anytime you've got something that comes from the word of the Lord, you'll have something to say. He's about to give the expression of his heart's desire and about to tell them exactly what he wanted to do and yet what God's going to end up doing for him. Number three tonight, you'll find out that David's aspiration is this. He'd like to build the house of God. And listen, he prayed about it. He prepared for it. You know, in the day and hour that we live in, there's all kind of beautiful buildings and beautiful edifices that are raised up in the name of the church and big cathedrals and this and that. And most times, just dead as a hammer. Dead as a hammer. You know how it is if you ever try to go to church somewhere when you're on a vacation, you got a few days, we'll just pull in here and try to go be faithful to the service. And you walked in there and they've got everything in the building but God. What a sad day that is. I can remember when I was growing up, some of the old preachers, you know, had nice buildings to be able to meet in. And they said, you know what I miss? I miss back whenever we had just an old humble beginning and just an old plank church building. But God met with us in that building. You know, every time we ever tried to build anything, since I've been in the world, in the ministry and all that business, since that day, I remember when there that old man gave us this building here. We knocked out at the end and built all the way over to the side and all of those buildings, all those rooms over on the side and the restrooms and this and that. But I can remember we had a bunch of men. They'd come down, work, volunteer, and stuff like that. And there's all that right there. And a few days had passed, and directly one would come to me, preacher, we got a problem, which means his wife's not happy with something. And as a result of that, I said, no, I don't think it's going to be a problem. We got a problem. I think you're going to have a problem. But go ahead and spit it out. What is it? Because there's no way in the world, you know, you ain't got but so much room. Listen, whenever you're down to where you've got a 10-foot by whatever 10-foot room or 16-foot and 4-foot of that's going to have to be some kind of a hallway. I said all that to say this. I can't tell you how many times I heard that. Not from the same person. And finally, I just ended up saying, hey, man, look, if you've got a legitimate gripe or complaint, we'll fix it, but we can't change this up so many times. And the reason being is, I don't care how many times you change that one room up, he's still just got about a 12 by 10 at best. So you do whatever you want to, but I'm just trying to tell you. We're not trying to plan for the church we hope to have tomorrow. We're trying to have something to meet in and get by with today. And let me tell you right now is that there was more squabbling just over a few little things like that concerning the building than there was any other thing. And I've seen that over and over and over again. I said all that to be able to say this. David is about to give his express desires heart and that he wants to build the house of God. Now, I want you to look in about verse number 2 again, is that of chapter 29. I want you to watch over there. David prayed about it. David prepared for it. And here's what he'd done. Look in verse 2, chapter 29. Now, I've prepared with all my might for the house of my God, the gold, the things to be made gold, the silver, the things of silver, and the brass, and things that are brass, and iron, and things of iron, and wood, and things and so forth, the onyx stones, the stones to be set, glittering stones, and as divers colors, and all manner of precious stones, and marble stones in abundance, and moreover, because that I've set my affection to the house of my God, I have mine own proper good of gold and silver, which is given to the house of my God. And he said, and over above all that I've prepared for the holy house. In other words, David not only had gathered from others, but he prepared from his own arsenal and his own money and wealth. And here was a man that had an affection for the things of God and for the house of God. Now, I got to tell you, is that he's ever been the same since the day I got saved. Whenever the Bible said the Lord's the same yesterday, today, and forever. I'm the Lord God, I change not. I got to tell you, that's the truth of the matter. In this lesson that we're looking at, you'll find that in verse number 3, that David's answer from God concerning building that house was no. And what was the reason? Because of the fact that he had shed blood and had been a man of war, and God said, I'm not going to let you build it. I'm going to raise up a son out of your loins. Now look, if you will, please, in verse number 4. Howbeit the Lord God of Israel chose me. And he's talking about him. He's talking about his own brothers. He said, before the house of my father went to be the king over Israel. For he hath chosen Judah to be the ruler and of the house of Judah and the house of my father. And among the sons of my father, he liked me to make me king over all of Israel. Now, David recognized that he was the choice of God. He had many other brothers, but he was the choice of God. God chose him. Now, verse 5. And he said, all of my sons, for the Lord hath given me many sons. Look at it. Now, he never specifically mentions one of them. But he said, of all my sons that the Lord had given me many sons, he hath chosen Solomon to be my son to sit upon the throne of the kingdom of the Lord of Israel. In other words, isn't that something? I can promise you there's not a one of us knowing the history of Bathsheba and what happened and the death of Uriah the Hittite. There's not one of us, even though that after that's all said and done, that David takes her to be a wife and so forth and on, and then as a result, she becomes pregnant again and she bears a child, a son, by the name of Solomon. Now, I got to tell you right now, God just doesn't do the things the way that you and I figure out he would do it. Notice, if you will, please, he said he chose Solomon, my son, to sit upon the throne of the kingdom of the Lord of Israel. And he said unto me, Solomon, thy son shall build my house and my courts, for I have chosen him to be my son, and I will be his father. Moreover, he said, I'll establish his kingdom forever, and if he be constant to do my commandments, my judgments, as it is this day. Now, I got to tell you right now is there's always some kind of stipulation. You know, you want to live for God and serve the Lord and have the blessings of God, you can. You want to live like a wild ass's coat and have the punishment of God and the whip of God, you will. But if this lesson here, when we're looking at it, he said in verse 8, now therefore in the sight of all of Israel, the congregation of the Lord and the audience of our God, keep and seek for all the commandments of the Lord your God, that you may possess this good land and leave it for an inheritance for your children after you forever. Now I want to tell you, is that in America, there's no two ways in ten. It bothers me and it scares me when I hear of all the millions of acres that the Chinese have acquired and now that they own. That's the wrong borderline. But they're in the wrong territory. And we've sold out in America to be able to do that. I got to say to you that here's what he learns. He learns that God, David said, whenever I was chosen from all my brethren, and whenever God chose Solomon out of all my sons, and I had many, he's learning God is in control. And let me tell you, you're not going to beat what God does and what God chooses. Now, David's got an admonition that comes from him unto Solomon, and here's what he says. You can be constant with the commands of God, and you'll be able to have this forever. Or you can go ahead and mess up, and as a result of that, we know that finally the kingdom after Solomon was divided. Remember that? And it was right now a united kingdom, and Solomon's going to be the last of the united kings, while Israel is all one kingdom, and till after that Solomon's about to leave, and then it's going to be divided between, what was it, Jeroboam and Rehoboam, Solomon's son. Now, in closing tonight, let me say to you, is that it's good, verse 9. He said, thou, Solomon, my son, know that thou the God of the Father, serve him with a perfect heart and with a willing mind, for the Lord searcheth all the hearts and understandeth all the imaginations and thoughts, that if you seek him, he'll be found of thee, but if thou forsake him, he'll cast thee off forever. Take heed now, for the Lord hath chosen thee to build a house for the sanctuary. Be strong and do it. I will say in closing tonight that as we look at that, I don't know about you, but I'm glad to be a part of the family of God. I'm glad to know that I'm not just going off somewhere and talking about a church. I'm glad to be a part of the family of God. I'm glad to be a part in the house of God. You know, this is the only place that whenever I go to church, I'm not a visitor. Every place else you go, you're a visitor. Until it becomes your home church. But everywhere else you go, you're a visitor. Somebody said, you know, I didn't feel like I was at home there. You're not. If you're at home here, if you don't feel at home here, you need something fixed. See? But make no mistake about it. David told his son Solomon, God's going to raise you up to build the house. I'm going to leave some materials behind for you. Just get to it and get at it and do it. I wonder tonight, aren't you glad to be a part of God's family? Out of all the people God could have reached down and saved, He saved you and I, or me and you. I'm glad to know that I'm part of His Isaac. You're part of His Isaac if you know the Lord and the free pardon of sin. Let's stand to our feet, our heads are bowed. Our eyes are closed. We want to thank God for how good He's been.